invite you to turn tonight, if you have a Bible with you, to Luke's Gospel, the 23rd chapter of Luke's Gospel. Reading from verse 1, "And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, We found this fellow perverting the nation, and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ the King. And Pilate asked him, saying, Art thou the King of the Jews? He answered him and said, Thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. Verse 13, and Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people, and behold, I have examined him before you, and have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas. Verse 21. But they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. He said unto them the third time, Why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they instant with loud voices requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired. But he delivered Jesus to their will. Down to verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him, and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And the superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuking him, said, Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. And when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintances and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding those things. The next chapter 24. Reading at verse 13, and behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, and they talked together of all those things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes withhold him, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these which ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? He said unto them, what things? And they said, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and their rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Follow down the chapter, for the sake of time, verse 25, he said unto them, O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered those things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. And they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took the bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? The end of the chapter, verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. It came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. May the Lord bless the reading from the Holy Scriptures tonight. I wonder tonight if in this garden here it should be that there should be someone here who up till this present moment yet doesn't know the Lord as their personal Saviour. My friend, tonight our hearts goes out to you, because we want to tell you tonight in the words of the closing verse of our hymn, to get right with God, for eternity is before you, and how dark twill be if banished from his face. What a sad thing it would be if there should be someone here who has mingled with the people of God, who has come along to those meetings on several occasions, who has come along regular to gospel meetings, and yet you still do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour. My friend, tonight, let me assure you tonight, I want to bring from those scriptures a very simple message to you, a message that every child in this room could understand, a message tonight that would point you to the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have nothing in ourselves. There is nothing that we can do. All we can do tonight is to point you to him, the one alone who can save, and can save that precious soul of yours tonight. I want to gather the thoughts together from those verses we've read. We've read a lot of scripture tonight, but you know, the scriptures speak for themselves. The scriptures are so wonderful. And as one stands here tonight, one feels how enabled we are to speak upon such a holy subject as the death, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, tonight, we sang a hymn in our morning meeting, and the hymn was this: O mystery of mysteries, of life and death, the tree, center of two eternities, which look with rapt adoring eyes onward and back to thee. O cross of Christ, for all this pain and death is our eternal gain. To think tonight that we have here a subject before us, a subject that in the Old Testament was prophesied so long ago, a subject that men of God spoke about in the ancient day. Why, when Moses in that day of old, when he lifted up that brazen serpent in the wilderness, it pointed forward to the time when the Lord Jesus would be lifted up upon a cross at Calvary. When Isaiah, that great prophet, who wrote so much about the Lord Jesus Christ, when he wrote in chapter 53 all about the sufferings that would take place, he pointed forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. All the Old Testament scriptures, the prophets, they pointed forward. And when we come to the book of Acts, the prophets of the New Testament, we might say, the preachers of the New Testament, the cross of Christ was the very subject of their preaching. The Apostle Paul, he says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. He says in 1 Corinthians 1, he says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it's the power of God unto salvation. My friend, we're not ashamed tonight to preach about the cross. We're not ashamed tonight to preach the blood. Amen. Because it's the blood that saves. God said in the Old Testament, Exodus 12, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. You'll recall, my friend, God said, when I see it. Those who were inside the home, they didn't have to see it. All they had to do was exercise faith in it, and they were safe. My friend, tonight, the precious blood of Jesus is your only hope for eternity. It's your only hope for salvation, because there's no salvation without the blood. And there's no hope of glory without the blood. But thank God tonight we can tell you that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from every sin. And I tell you tonight, I don't know who you are. I don't know what sin lies upon your heart tonight. But let me say this tonight, there's not a sin that cannot be forgiven tonight, because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from every sin. You can be saved tonight. Well, I want to sum up the little message I've got tonight. I want to give it some headings for those who perhaps like to take something away in the way of a heading. I want to speak first of all from those verses we've read. I want to speak tonight about the cry of the crowd. The cry of the crowd. We're living in days when the crowds are prevailing. Even in our own land, and some of you dear people here, you live quite nearby, scenes of mob rioting in these days. These days in which we live, the Apostle Paul tells us, they're perilous times. We're getting near the end, my friend. We're not looking for things to get better in this world. We're nearing the end of the day of grace. And Scripture says, evil men will wax worse and worse. We're in that time today. And this crowd that gathered at this occasion, they were gathered here. And here before Pilate, he had had many men before him before. He was a judge. He was one who was well used to summon up men, to seeing them, to watching them. He had never seen a man like this before. He never had a man to deal with like this before. And Pilate, when he examined him those three times, he came out with this astonishing decision. He says, I find no fault in this man. What a man he was. Oh, can I tell you about Jesus tonight? Can I point you to the Saviour? You know this wonderful gospel of Luke. It's well the gospel that the gospel preacher loves to go to, isn't it? It speaks about him. We were speaking in the Saturday there, were we not, about a dear woman who spoke of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. When we go over a little bit there, we read it and we see him standing up in the temple, and he lifts up the book, he finds the place where it's written, the synagogue, and it says the eyes of all them there were fastened upon him. My friend, we want you to get your eyes fastened upon Jesus tonight. He's the one that can save you. He's the one that can do all things for you tonight. The hymn writer, he gathered up, you know, in the hymn, when you say, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full on his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strange with them in the light of his glory and grace. And you know the crowd here, they heard Pilate say this, I find no fault in him. I find nothing worthy of death in him. I find no fault in him. What did they cry? They cried, crucify him! Crucify him! We will not have this man to reign over us. My friend, that's the cry of the crowd. Are you among the crowd tonight? Or you say, well, no. I come along to the meetings and I like the meetings, but I haven't trusted the Lord yet. Let me say this to you tonight, my friend. There's no sitting on the fence. The Lord Jesus says, he that is not with me is against me. The Lord Jesus says, no man can serve two masters. You either hate the one, love the other, or love the one and hate the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You've got to make a decision tonight. The Lord is challenging you tonight. What am I going to do with Christ? That's what Pilate said to the crowd. What am I going to do with this man? He didn't know what to do with this man. He knew in his conscience and his mind that this man should be set free. But it says he gave over to the crowd. And the crowd prevailed. And he said he gave them over to their will. Let him be crucified. Are you associating yourself tonight with people like that? With a crowd like that? My friend, oh, that you would come out boldly for the Lord Jesus tonight. Secondly, I want to speak about the cross of Christ. The scripture says here that the Lord Jesus says in John, bearing his cross, he went forth to the place of a skull. You know, these last 2 days in the meetings we've been talking about how many times this word's mentioned in Luke and how many times the other word's mentioned in Luke. I want to tell you something. Calvary is only mentioned once in Luke. The word Calvary is only mentioned once in this gospel. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. I believe my friend meant so much to the Spirit of God penning those words. I want to take you tonight to the cross of Jesus. Oh, one feels how inadequate we are to speak on such a subject. One feels how inadequate we are to speak on such a subject. One of all, when he was viewing those things, it says, take off the shoes from off thy feet, the place where thou standest is holy ground. My friend, tonight, I can only take you to the cross. That throng, that maddening throng, that crowd, they took the Lord Jesus, and they led him up there, Golgotha's hill. And there upon that cross at Calvary, his hands were stretched out, and he was nailed upon the cross. Wounded for me, wounded for me. There on the cross he was wounded for me. And I can say tonight, I'm not going to speak for anyone here, gone my transgressions, and now I am free. All because Jesus was wounded for me. My friend, they took the Lord Jesus and they put a crown of thorns on his head. Those thorns that speak of the curse in this earth. You remember in the book of Genesis, cursed be the ground for thy sake. Thorns and thistles began to grow and they took off the curse of this earth and they placed it on the head of the Saviour. My friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, he went forward and he went on to that cross and it was in love for you and for me. The Lord Jesus loved us so much that he was prepared to die and give his life upon a cross for you and me. Oh, the Lord Jesus knew how he would die, you know. In John 3, the Lord says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He knew, he says, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. This he spake, signifying what death he should die. The Lord Jesus knew that the cross was his portion. My friend, those scriptures here, this verse, it searches me. It searches us all tonight to think of what he done for us. It says, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary. There they crucified him. Oh, my friend, have a look at Calvary tonight. Look at the cross tonight. It was for you. He says, all this I have done for you. What have you done for me? What have you done for him tonight? Are you going to take sides with the Lord? You know, my friend, as we read those scriptures over, we haven't time to go into it. But you know, the hearts of many people were revealed at this time. There were those who sat down. It says, and sitting down, they watched him there. Imagine it. They sat down there and they gambled over the garments of the Lord Jesus. He was there dying upon the cross for their sins. They sat and they gambled. And then there was another group of people, and it says of them, they passed by, wagging their heads. They weren't concerned. Are you like that tonight? Are you passing by the cross? I want to tell you tonight, my friend, the cross stands tonight as a barricade to prevent you from going to a lost eternity. If you'll only come to the cross tonight and trust in the Savior. There was a man, he used to be a great swimmer. This man, he had access to the pool. He was used to going there regular. One night, after coming from a gospel meeting, he couldn't sleep. And so it was a nice night, this time of the year, and he said to himself, I'll go down and have a swim as usual. So he went away, he opened the door, went into the pool, got himself changed, and he started to climb the steps. And he got up there to the diving board. He wasn't like some of us that touch the water and take about 5 minutes to go in. He went up to the diving board and he stood there and he put his hands out, ready to dive. And at the back of him, the moon was shining. And suddenly, he saw a reflection in front of him of a cross. And the Lord spoke to him. And he got down, he went back down the steps again. And when he got down, he realized, he looked in, and there was no water in the pool. Someone had emptied it that day, unknown to him. And there, in that moment, God spoke to him, and that man was gloriously converted. My friend, tonight, the cross stood between him and instant death. And I tell you tonight, if you pass the cross, if you pass by the cross tonight, it might be you might never have another opportunity. You might end up in a lost eternity. There were those that passed by the cross. And then there were those that stood afar off, and they smote upon their breasts. They weren't prepared to come close. They stood afar off. Are you like that tonight? Are you standing afar off? Don't you want to get involved with these things? Oh, my friend, how sad. And then there was a little group that John tells us that stood by the cross of Jesus. Oh, are you amongst those tonight that are prepared to stand by the cross of Jesus? Oh, this sight, my friend, the maker of the universe, as man for man was made a curse. There, my friend, can I point you once again to Jesus, the one who's able to save you tonight and save that soul of yours. We've thought about the cry of the crowd. We've thought about the cross of the Lord Jesus. I want to speak about the conversion of the dying thief. You know, I've been struck reading this portion over this man here that was crucified alongside the Savior. You think of it, my friend, I like to think of it, that there was a cross, and on either side there was one of those thieves. One railed on him. One railed on him, saying, if thou beest the Christ, save thyself and us. He wanted saved all right his own way. But the other rebuking him, said, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, we are deserving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss. Oh, my friend, I wonder tonight if you've come to that in your soul. He was a man dying, and he was looking on the Savior. He had heard men saying, he saved others. I could imagine him saying, well, if he saved others, maybe there's hope for me. Maybe you'll be able to save me. He was a man in the 11th hour of his life. My friend, who knows? You may well be in the 11th hour of your life. Oh, some people say, I'll wait till I get a deathbed. My friend, you might never get one. You know, in this part of the country in which we live, we know of tragedy on the sea so very well. We know of the roads of the many young people that have been swept into eternity in a moment of time. You may be in the 11th hour of your life. This dying thief, he was in the 11th hour of his life. And turning to Jesus, he says, Lord, remember me. What a prayer. Didn't take long to say that, did it? But it came from the heart. He says, Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. He must have recognized in Jesus, he was a king, and yet this king is dying. But this king's got a kingdom to come. And he says, Lord, he says, just remember me. Oh, there'll be great men in the kingdom. Perhaps you had heard about Abraham and Moses and David and Solomon and all those great men that will come in that day. He says, Lord, just remember me, Lord. What did Jesus say to him? He says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Oh, how wonderful. My friend, is there one here tonight that you're going to come forward and trust the Savior? Oh, the Lord Jesus is able to save you today. Not tomorrow, today. If you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Today is accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. He's able to save you now. And that man that day exchanged the cross for paradise. You know, Samuel Rutherford, the writer of the well-known Hymn Our book, the sands of time are sinking, the dawn of heaven breaks. The fair sweet morn I sigh for, that fair sweet morn awakes. Dark has been the midnight, the day spring is at hand, and glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. There's a verse in the poem of that that's not in the book, and it goes something like this. The lines goes this: twixt me and resurrection, but paradise doth stand, and glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. Oh, my friend, that man was glad to exchange a cross for a place in paradise with the Lord Jesus. That man had never heard a prayer like that before. He had heard the Lord say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. He had never heard anyone pray like that before. He had never heard men saying he was a man that saved others. He had never heard that. Yet, my friend, that man, that day, he looked on the Savior and he said, Lord, just remember me. Remember me. My friend, the Lord's able to do this tonight. Your cry might be feeble. You might be like Peter of old and you might just say, Lord, save me. Is there somebody here tonight? You're going to say that. Young person here tonight, you've got life before you, if the Lord will, we shall say. You've got days before you that are growing darker. Do you want to say tonight, Lord, save me? This man said it. He says, Lord, remember me. What a conversion. The conversion of the dying thief. And I want to speak tonight, fourthly, about the confession of the centurion. This centurion, it's remarkable in Luke's gospel, the centurions and in the gospels. But this one here, no doubt, he had been at many a crucifixion. He was in charge of soldiers. It was his daily job, no doubt, to execute this final judgment. But this centurion, as he stood back beholding those things, he looked, he saw what was done. He saw the darkness that had come down, the darkness that had covered that scene while Jesus, the Lord Jesus, was bearing your punishment and mine for sin. Because you know, the scripture tells us that there were 6 hours the Lord was on the cross. Those 3 hours of darkness, my friend, was the hours when God laid our sins upon him. And he bore your sins and my sins in his own body on the tree. Oh, how greatly Jesus loved me. How greatly Jesus loved me to bear my sin, to bear my sins in his body on the tree. This centurion had witnessed all this, and he confessed, he came out with a confession. He says, truly, this was a righteous man. In another gospel, he says, truly, This was the Son of God. He confessed. I wonder if you've confessed Jesus tonight. Has the cross of Christ had an effect upon you, my friend? What effect has the cross upon you? You've spoken of those that passed by, those that sat down, those that stood afar off. He is one that confessed that Jesus was the Son of God. I wonder tonight, is there one going to trust the Lord? And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. God is able to save you tonight if you will confess him as your Saviour. I want to say a word tonight, perhaps to someone who has trusted the Lord yet. And perhaps you've never yet gone out and confessed him to others at your work, or in the office where you work, or at the school where you go. You know, there's no joy, I believe, in the soul until you confess the Lord. Until you nail your colours to the mast. Until you let people know that you belong to the Lord. What a joy it is to link yourself up with this wonderful man. Oh, my friend, this man, he confessed him. He says, truly, this was the Son of God. Lastly, in chapter 24, I'd like to speak about the comfort of the Scriptures. The comfort of the Scriptures. We've spoken about the cry of the crowd. We've said a little, a very little, about the cross of Jesus. We've spoken about the conversion of the dying thief and about the confession of the centurion. Just wanted to say a little word at the end about the comfort of the Holy Scriptures. You know the Lord Jesus, he's risen from the dead, you know. If we had had time, we could have read those Scriptures. How that those people came to the grave and they got the message, he is not here, he's risen. He's risen. Here's the place where the Lord lay. Oh, thank God today that Jesus Christ is alive. Thank God today that there's a man in the glory. I'm glad today that I can take you tonight through the Scriptures and tell you, look, there's a man in heaven tonight. We sometimes sing of him, look, ye saints, his sight is glorious. See the man of sorrows now. He's a man in the glory. Do you know him, my friend? Oh, what a wonderful thing to get to know that man, the wonderful man in the glory. But you know those disciples, here they're on the road to Emmaus, and their hearts are sad, and they're downcast. And you know, it could be at a conference like this, that there's somebody here like that, and your heart's sad, and you're a little cast down, perhaps in your life over the past few weeks, months, years, things haven't just gone right. And there's that in your heart tonight. You know, I like those words. It says, Jesus himself drew near. And he went with them. Oh, my friend, tonight, and from the Holy Scriptures, from the books of Moses, from the prophets, in all the Scriptures, through life. Wonderful, my friend, in your downs and your ups, to know that there's one there just to draw alongside you and to bring the Scriptures fresh to your heart, the comfort of the Scriptures. You know, last Lord's Day night, we had the privilege of going up to the home at Harrington. And after we gave a little word there, one of the old sisters there, she's blind. And you know, she took my hand and she says, oh, what a lovely friend I've got. What a lovely friend I've got. She was speaking about Jesus, of course. That night I gave a wee word there, and I spoke first of all about a friend that loveth at all times, a loving friend. Then I spoke about the next chapter in Proverbs, about a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, a lasting friend. One that just doesn't throw you over when things go wrong in your life. It's a lasting friend, not only a loving friend, he's a lasting friend. These people found him here, you know, as a lasting friend. He was with them. And then I spoke about Exodus, where Moses, remember how he spoke to God, and he says God spoke to him as a friend, face to face as to a friend. He was a listening friend. God spoke to Moses. Moses spoke to God. Oh, my friend, isn't it wonderful to have a friend like this in your life? Have you got somebody like this in your life, friend? Then we said a little word at the end about the Song of Songs. This is my friend, the lovely friend. He's altogether lovely. This is my beloved. This is my friend. And And this old woman, she was blind. She took her hand and she says, "Oh, I've got a lovely friend. My friend, can you do that tonight? Can you put your hand in the hand of Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, you're my friend. Not only for time, but for all eternity." These two disciples, as they made their way back, you know, the time seemed to go, the 7 miles journey, it just went by like that. And they said to him, oh, they said, "Come in and stay with us. Oh, come in and stay with us. My friend, if you knew the Saviour, if you knew the Saviour, as some of us here tonight know him, you would say tonight, Lord Jesus, come in and stay. Come into my heart, come into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus." The youngest child can say that. You're going to say that tonight. And it says he went in into their company. And they said, oh, did not our heart burn within us? He was by the way. My friend tonight, the comfort of the Holy Scriptures. You know what a comfort those this book gives to us as we pass through life? The Lord's coming, you know. The apostle, he says at the end of that talk in 1 Thessalonians 4, when he tells about the Lord coming from heaven, he says, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." My friend tonight, I trust tonight that you'll come to the Saviour. I trust that you'll find him tonight. He's a friend worth having in time. And I'll tell you, he's a friend for all eternity. May you trust him for his name's sake.